Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today as we begin a brand new prophecy study, we'll see that the Lord promised that two brothers would grow up and both become nations. Those two brothers, Jacob and Esau, are today the forefathers of the two people groups, the Palestinians and the Jews. We'll look at God's Word for all that we need to understand how this has played out down through the ages. First, however, I want to explain today's Palestinian people and the Jewish nation of Israel. Then we'll start our study of Scripture in Genesis chapter 25, verse 23.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
The issues that we're looking at this week, perplexing prophetic problems, probably could have at the top of the list the resolution of the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. It has become a very perplexing problem as far as world leaders are concerned. The Secretary General of the United Nations made a statement when he was first sworn in as that leader of the United Nations that his number one priority was to bring resolution to the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. He believed that if he was able to do that, then there would be a peace operation in the Middle East that could come about. He has just accepted the beginning of his second term as Secretary General and as of yet has not been able to resolve the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. We can talk about president after president, secretary of state after secretary of state, peace envoy after peace envoy going into Israel, going into the area where the Palestinians are located, making other trips to the Middle East, trying to pull together this peace process that would bring some type of an agreement, at least a coexistence between the Israelis and the Palestinians. We don't see that coming together. I don't see it in the very near future of coming together as well. So we are not exactly sure what the situation is going to be as it relates to the future unless we go to the Word of God. And there in the Word of God, there is absolute evidence of when the resolution of the conflict is going to take place. Before I get into some of the history of the Palestinian-Israeli conflict and the prophetic significance of how it is going to be resolved, let me just give you some information that'll help you somewhat understand what is happening in the Middle East. Yasser Arafat is probably the one who popularized the Palestinian people. Yasser Arafat was born in Jerusalem, then his family moved to Cairo, Egypt. He became a student with a brand new Islamic terror organization called the Muslim Brotherhood. He was the first of their products to come out of their training there in Egypt. He first came into a leadership role as the head of an organization, one of the Palestinian organizations. There are about 11 of them. His was named Fatah, F-A-T-A-H, and that is the leading Palestinian organization now for the Palestinian Authority. His number one assistant, Mahmoud Abbas, came to power after the death of Yasser Arafat. In 1964, Yasser Arafat decided to put together a conglomerate of all of these Palestinian organizations, and he started the Palestinian Liberation Organization, the PLO. He was elected as chairman of the PLO. That was all in operation there in the state of Israel. When Israel finally forced him to leave Israel, he went across the Jordan River into Jordan. But one of the reasons he went over to Jordan is because at that time, about 60% of all the population of Jordan was Palestinian. Today, it's almost 75% of the people of Jordan are Palestinian, again, with the son of King Hussein, King Abdullah. He's still not a Palestinian, although he is married to a Palestinian. When Yasser Arafat went over into Jordan, because of the large population of Palestinian people, he endeavored to take over Jordan. You might recall, if you can think back that far, to September of 1970. It was referred to as Black September, and indeed, the new organization under Yasser Arafat, Black September, who was responsible for the massacre there in Germany, the Munich massacre at the Olympic Games, the Palestinians killing the Jewish participants in the Olympic Games. But on September the 1st, 1970, King Hussein took his military might and he drove Yasser Arafat out of Jordan. He went into Lebanon. He was there for a number of years until the Israelis ran him out of Lebanon again. He then went to Tunisia, and in Tunis he became the leader of the Palestinian people in exile. When there was a signing of the peace treaty between the Israelis and the Palestinians, September the 13th, 1993, the Oslo Accords was signed, and that brought so-called peace or coexistence between the Israelis and Palestinians. Howbeit, that particular peace agreement has never been normalized. It is not working. The Palestinians are still killing the Jewish people, even as we're standing here talking to you about it this morning. And about 25 years ago, a blind sheikh, also from the Muslim Brotherhood, came out of Egypt, came into the Gaza Strip. He established another part of the body politic of the Palestinian people called Hamas. Hamas is an Islamic fundamentalist terrorist organization. They have already implemented Sharia law in the Gaza Strip, which means the law of their land is, according to the Quran, the Sharia law. So there are two counterparts of the Palestinian body politic today, Fatah and Hamas. They are at odds with each other. The Hamas people saying they never will recognize Israel has a right to exist in the Middle East. And although Fatah is similar in much of their philosophy as well, they are at least sitting at the negotiating, or wanting to sit at the negotiating table, endeavoring to try to coexist with the Jewish people. There is a possibility they're asking for a state. They want their state back, which is an ironic statement because the Palestinian people never had a state. From 1500 until 1900, the entire Middle East was controlled by the Ottoman Empire, the Turkish Empire, and there was no Palestinian state. In 1917, the Brits defeated the Turkish Empire, the Ottoman Empire, and they then implemented control of the Middle East, and there was no Palestinian state. There has never been a Palestinian state. We have believed a lie so long, we now have accepted it as the truth that the Palestinian people deserve to have their state back. And that is ironic, in fact, that they should ever be considered to have a state in the Middle East. The Palestinian people, through their educational program, and they have universities throughout the Gaza Strip up in the northern part of Jerusalem in Ramallah. They have universities there, and they teach that they have a relationship back 2,000 years ago to King Herod. In fact, they call King Herod's temple their temple because Herod was one of them. Now, we'll get to that in a moment, Herod an Idumean, and they claim that he was one of theirs. They are descendants of King Herod, and the temple, which was built by actually Zerubbabel and about 50,000 Jews who returned after the Babylonian captivity, did get the name Herod's Temple. Herod, John chapter 2, spent 46 years in refurbishing this second temple that was built in the city of Jerusalem. In fact, the rabbis would say 2,000 years ago, if you'd never seen Herod's Temple, you'd never seen a beautiful building any place in the world. You might remember that Jesus Christ said that temple would be destroyed. And indeed, 40 years, almost to the day after Christ made that statement, the Romans did take down that temple. Jesus making a statement, there would not be a stone upon a stone. And that is the case. I've talked with every archaeologist that has ever had an opportunity to do a study on the Temple Mount. There's not one stone upon a stone. In fact, the way we know anything about Herod's temple is because of an incident that took place about 150 years before the birth of Christ. 150 years before the birth, the temple was standing in the city of Jerusalem, and the high priest in the temple fell in love. He was not married at that time. He fell in love with a Samaritan woman. Now, Samaritan is half Jew and half Gentile, and according to halakhic law, the Jewish law, a priest, or really no Jew is allowed to marry a Samaritan, but in particular, a high priest. Well, he was in love with this lady. Her father came to him one day and said, "Now listen, if you will indeed marry my daughter, give up your high priesthood, I will replicate Herod's temple here in Samaria." He did that. And in fact, that's how we know anything about Herod's temple, since there's not a stone upon a stone. I've been to the archaeological site. Every bit of information we know about Herod's temple is at that temple, the remains, the archaeological remains of that temple in Samaria. What is so interesting, in John chapter 4, Jesus was standing there by the well in Samaria with the lady. And what did she say to Jesus? "Now, Jesus, you tell us that we're to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. Our fathers tell us we're to worship at the temple here in Samaria." And so that temple was replicated, and they claim that's the Jewish temple in Samaria. The Palestinian temple is the one that was in Jerusalem, Herod's temple. That's somewhat of the background, present day, and a little bit of the history of the Palestinian people. But there's much more history that we need to cover. Take your Bible and go with me, if you will, to the book of Genesis, chapter 25. You might notice that as I start to teach prophecy, I continually go to the book of Genesis. In essence, Genesis is the foundation of all of Bible prophecy. I have a series on the back table, Genesis, the Foundation of Bible Prophecy, an appropriate title after what I just said. But indeed, it is the case. We notice here in the 25th chapter, and this is a very important prophetic chapter if you're studying Bible prophecy, because it gives you the families of Abraham. We looked just briefly at Ishmael yesterday, but again, if you go to Genesis chapter 25, you see the record of Isaac, his son of promise, the second born. Look here in verse 19 of Genesis chapter 25. "And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to be his wife." Rebekah was a Syrian, and they married. And it came along that, similar to Isaac's mother, his wife Rebekah had a barren womb. Look here in verse 21. "And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived." Now, just a bit of humor here, not really intended to be humor, but you got to be careful how you pray, because Isaac was praying for a son to carry on his heritage and to get the promise, the Abrahamic promise, passed along to him. Well, he was praying for a son, and he probably overprayed. You got to be specific in your prayers. And instead of having one son, he's going to get two sons for the same price of that prayer. And she is now with child. Look at verse 22. "And the children, two of them," this would be Esau and Jacob, "and the children struggled together within her, and she said, 'If it be so, why am I thus?' And she went to inquire the Lord." She wanted to know, why are these two boys within her womb struggling? She needed to have some answers. Verse 23 is a very key verse. Put an asterisk beside the verse. This is key to your understanding of what's going to happen in the future. But indeed, if Isaac and Rebekah had been paying attention, it would have been a lot easier life as well. Look at verse 23. "And the Lord said unto her, 'Two nations are in thy womb.'"
Rebekah was told by the Lord that she would give birth to two nations. We know today these two nations are the Palestinian people and the Jewish state of Israel. Next week, we'll continue our study on how this has worked out down through the centuries, and our focus will be on the Word of God. I hope you can join us for that study. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. You've been listening to Prophecy Today with Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...